and gentlemen, Ed Bousman, Lynchburg, Ohio, and the God is Just a Prayer Away radio broadcast. It is written, all the churches of Christ salute you. It is written, what have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God, torment me not. It is written, and a woman who had an issue of blood 12 years and had suffered many things of many doctors and had spent all that she had and was nothing bettered but rather grew worse. It is written, my little daughter is even now dead, but come and lay thy hand upon her and she shall live. It is written, damsel, I say unto thee, arise. And straightway the damsel rose up and walked, for she was 12 years old. And they came to the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the boat, straightway there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling in the tombs, and no man could any more bind him, no, not with a chain, because he had been often bound with chains and fetters, and the chains had been rent asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces. Just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains. Alas, and did my Savior bleed, and did my Sovereign die, would he devote that sacred head for such a worm as I? Oh, how sweet to trust in Jesus, just to trust his cleansing blood, just in simple faith to plunge me 'neath the healing, cleansing flood. Sing, oh, sing of my Redeemer. With his blood he purchased me. On the cross he sealed my pardon, paid the debt, and made me free. Ladies and gentlemen, listen to this gospel message. Jesus is Lord of all. In the gospel according to Mark 5, we learn the message that Jesus is Lord over demons, Lord over disease, and Lord over death. First, his mastery over demons is demonstrated in the account of the demoniac whose name was Legion. The Lord and his disciples were crossing the Sea of Galilee, and a great storm threatened to sink the boat. Jesus, who was asleep in the hindmost part of the ship, arose and rebuked the wind and the sea, and there was a great calm. When they came to the other side, they ran into a storm of a different kind, a storm that was raging inside of a man possessed with demons. This man lived in the tombs, wore no clothes, he was fierce, and it seems a threat to the public. He was crying out at night in the mountains, and all attempts to tame him failed. He would break chains, and there was no way to bind him. He had superhuman strength. He was Super Mugger. When Jesus asked him his name, he said his name was Legion. Now the word besought is found four times regarding Legion. The first besought is when the demons besought that Jesus would not cast them into the abyss or bottomless pit. Mark says that Legion saw Jesus from afar off, and the unclean spirit cried with a loud voice. Now listen to these demons as they hiss at the Lord, torment me not. Matthew adds the time element to this request. Art thou come to torment us before the time? When Jesus showed up on the beach, the demons thought he was going to start their torment ahead of time. The devil believes in hell, and he knows it is just a question of time. Another message the demons hiss is in regards to their number. Jesus asked him, "What is thy name?" He said, "Legion, for we are many." There were many demons in this one man. This fact indicates how vast the number of evil spirits there are in the kingdom of darkness. Paul tells us in Ephesians 6:12 how we wrestle against the spiritual host of wickedness in high places. The philosophy of the demons was the same as many we meet every day. They hissed, "What have we to do with thee?" They want nothing to do with Jesus Christ, either here or in eternity. They hate angels. They hate the church. They hate the Bible. They hate Jesus, and they hate the Christian. The second besought was a request to the Lord, if he was going to cast them out, to send them into the herd of swine. So Jesus said unto them, "Go." And they came out and went into the swine. And behold, the whole herd rushed down the steep into the sea and perished in the waters. This should have been proof enough for the people to know that when the devil gets into anything, he will destroy it. If the devil gets into your home, he will destroy it. If the devil gets into a marriage, he will tear it apart. If the devil gets into a nation, he will destroy it. If the devil gets into a family camp, he will destroy it. If the devil gets into a Bible college, he will destroy it. History gives abundant evidence of this fact, and most of the time, we ignore it. This demon-filled man said that his name was Legion, for we are many. For no man could bind him. No, not even with chains and locks. He could break these restraints like spider webs. People are breaking the chains of restraint today. A description of modern man is found in the second psalm. Let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. People today are not going to be bound by any laws of God. The world today creates its own laws of morality. It is hard to understand these bleeding-heart liberals who want to kill babies, and yet they don't want to execute rapists and murderers. Mankind, controlled by the devil, lives like a legion among the tombs. It is impossible to drive around a city or countryside very long without seeing a cemetery. We always hear the hiss of the serpent in every funeral procession. When the townspeople came out to investigate, they found the man sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. In other words, it is spiritual insanity to live life in this world without Christ. And now here's the third besought. The townspeople wanted Jesus to leave. The reason was Jesus is too expensive. I asked a farmer about the price of hogs one time, and he said a good rule of thumb would be $100 for a pig just big enough to get to market. Now think of that. 2,000 hogs floating belly up in the water would be worth about $200,000 if they only weighed 100 pounds apiece. That was quite a jolt to the local economy. Now it was nice of Jesus to make this demoniac a good citizen, but the price was too high. The demons always hiss when money is mentioned regarding the ongoing of the kingdom of God. They besought him to depart from their borders. ladies and gentlemen, Jesus never stays where he's not wanted. What a haunting statement they made. Depart from our borders. Jesus himself will use the same words someday to many when he says in Matthew 25:41, Depart from me, ye cursed, into the eternal fire. The fourth besought was when the legions besought Jesus that he might go and be with him. The parting word of the Lord to the man he delivered from the demons was a commission. Go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and how he had compassion on thee. And Legion departed and began to publish in Decapolis how many great things the Lord had done for him. And all men marveled. We Christians need to remember that when Jesus has given us also a great commission to preach to a lost world and tell them what great things the Lord has done for us, we need to remember how he told us to go and tell them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. On that great day when the voice of the Master is calling, and the gates of the city unfold, and the saints of the ages are thronging into the city of gold, how my heart shall overflow with rapture, if some brother shall greet me and say, You pointed my footsteps to heaven, and you told me of Jesus the way. Jesus is Lord over demons. And now he is not only Lord over demons, he is Lord over disease. And a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. When she heard of Jesus, she came in the press behind, and touched his garment. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and the Lord looked round about on her that had done this thing. The Lord looked on her with the look of compassion. Actually, Jesus looked on many people. He looked up into heaven before he healed the deaf man, when he returned to Decapolis, when it was said, He hath done all things well. That was a look that healed. When Jesus made the prediction that he would be crucified, Peter took him and rebuked him, saying, Lord, this shall never be unto thee. Peter had rejected the thought of Jesus dying on the cross. Jesus turned about and looked on his disciples and rebuked Peter and said, Get thee behind me, Satan, for thou art a stumbling block unto me, for thou mindest not the things of God, but the things of men. And does he not also give that same look of rebuke today on those who reject his sacrifice on the cross? Another time Jesus looked round about on his disciples and said, Behold, my mother and my brethren, for whosoever doeth the will of my Father who is in heaven, he is my brother and sister and mother. That was a special look we have for loved ones of our family. Every Christian can sing, I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. Another time Jesus looked round about him in anger was on the Pharisees because of their hardness of heart. One might wonder if Jesus still looks on those today in anger that hear the gospel preached and will not accept how he suffered for them on the cross. Then there's a look of Jesus in the early part of his ministry when Andrew brought his brother Simon to Jesus. Jesus looked upon him and said, Thou art Simon, the son of John. Thou shalt be called Cephas, which is by interpretation Peter. Jesus looked on Peter and saw an apostle. What does Jesus see as he looks upon you? I think I can say Jesus looked on me and saw a preacher. At last this woman had found the right doctor. She had found the great physician. Some doctors today specialize. Jesus is a specialist in everything. Jesus is a good chiropractor. One time a woman was bowed together for 18 years and could not lift herself up. He laid his hands on her and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. One adjustment was all that was needed. He was a great ophthalmologist. One time he healed a man from blindness who was born blind. Jesus was a good psychiatrist. With one look, he could tell what they were thinking. He knew their thoughts, John says. With the woman in this case, he demonstrated that he was a great oncologist or blood doctor. 1 John 1:7 says, "The blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us from all sin." He was also a wonderful podiatrist. When he caused a man to walk after being lame for 38 years. Now this case would be a real test for the great physician. Sick for 12 years, spent all of her money, and no one could heal her. This woman reminds me of many who are spiritually sick. They try all kinds of spiritual doctors and get worse all the time instead of better. Some people depend on doctor feeling to pull them out of it. I overheard people talking at a nearby table in a restaurant. One of them was evidently a preacher. I heard him tell the others that the Lord had told him five things he wanted him to do after the first of the year. I wondered at the time, how did the Lord tell him five things? Did he call him on the phone? The cell phone? Did he fax him a message? Did he text him a message? Or did he just holler it down to him from heaven? I suppose if someone had asked him, he would have said he just felt the Lord was talking to him. Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Feeling is a quack. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Faith does not come by feeling and how you feel about it. Some people spend all they have on doctor denomination. I heard one man pray in a church service one time, and he said, "Oh Lord, there are over 300 denominations in the Christian religion, and I thank God for every one of them." Jesus prayed, "I pray that they may all be one." Then there are some that worship doctor baptism. Some depend on being immersed in water as the only step in the plan of salvation. The command that was given to the believers on the day of Pentecost was repent and be baptized. And it was to be done in the name of Jesus Christ by His authority. Many have heard the words baptism only and have turned a deaf ear to the repent part. At the point of obedience, Jesus will say to you, as he said to the woman with the issue of blood, "Thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague." Jesus is Lord over demons. He is Lord over disease. And he is Lord over death. Just before the woman with the issue of blood was healed, there came one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name, and when he saw him, he fell at his feet and besought him greatly, "My little daughter is even now dead. I pray thee come and lay thy hand on her, and she shall live." And Jesus arose and followed him, and so did his disciples. There are many who belong to the Jairus Club today. their thought of mortality and salvation never comes to mind until the sudden death of a friend. They may never show any interest any other time, but when a loved one dies, many will turn to a preacher, and they want Jesus to be present. Many times it is a sad state of affairs when the good intention is never redeemed until the day when the family calls on the preacher for the memorial service. It has been said that the most popular question that is asked more times every day is the question, "What time is it?" The best answer to that question is in Hosea 10, verse 12. The prophet said, "It is time to seek the Lord." What would you think of a doctor who examined you and knew that you had a cancer, but to make you feel good, told you you were in the best health? People may not want to hear the truth, but they need to hear it anyway. They expect the preacher to preach their loved one to the front row of heaven with a crown on his head and a harp in his hand, regardless of his relationship with Jesus Christ. And it was at this time the woman with the issue of blood had interrupted the trip to the house of Jairus. What a tense moment it was for Jairus. His daughter was even now dead, and this was no time for delay. Jesus told Jairus, "Be not afraid, only believe." When they arrived on the scene and saw the preparation being made for the funeral, Jesus informed them the child was only asleep, and they laughed him to scorn. "Only believe," he said. And taking the child by the hand, he saith unto her, "Talitha cumi, damsel, arise." And straightway she arose and walked, for she was 12 years old. He commanded that she should be given something to eat. There's a good reason that Jesus commanded that they give her something to eat. At one of the appearances of Jesus in Luke 24, after his resurrection, the disciples thought that he was a spirit. And while they still disbelieved and wondered, he said unto them, "Have you anything to eat?" And they gave him a piece of honeycomb and broiled fish. And he took it and ate it before them. The disciples knew then that his resurrection was for real. When Jesus arose from the dead, that is a good thing for the church to remember. When there is a baptism and a person is buried with Christ and raised to walk in newness of life, give them something to eat. Give them the Word of God and feed them the bread of life in the teaching and preaching of the Word of God. Now, by taking food, there was no doubt that Jesus was not a spirit, but in fact, he was a resurrected body. So they gave the resurrected child something to eat for the same purpose. And when that child came out of that room, eating a cheeseburger in one hand and drinking a milkshake with the other, no one laughed anymore. There was no question about it. Everyone knew this was the real deal. Ladies and gentlemen, Jesus is Lord over demons. He is Lord over disease. He is Lord over death. Jesus is Lord of all. Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to another God is Just a Prayer Away radio broadcast brought to you each week at the same time by Churches of Christ and Christian churches who are concerned about your soul salvation. The address, Ed Bousman, B-O-U-S-M-A-N, Post Office Box 511, Lynchburg, Ohio 45142. Only as you reach back to us with your letters of support can we reach out to you with the gospel as it was preached in the days of the apostles. The address again, Ed Bousman, Post Office Box 511, Lynchburg, Ohio 45142. Check out our website, edbousman.org. praise the Lord, pass the ammunition, and don't forget to tell somebody, somehow, and in some way, that God is just a prayer away.